Blog Talk Radio.
Your trouble ain't over. Your trouble has just begun. You're walking in shadows. Your heart is on the run. You may know who I am, but you don't know what's mine. Call me the devil. Call me by another name. You're looking for redemption, but you call me just the same. I know all your dirty secrets. I can't cause your greatest shame.
Someday life will be
Relaxed, and then we're going to get into the educational part of this whole thing tonight. as you see what the title was. Well, we'll get into that too. But this is some more easy late back music.
Oh,
Radio. This is your host, Ron Reck. I'm just fooling with you guys a little bit before I start this Sunday night show. Hey, I hope everybody's doing well. I'm doing great. Fantastic. We're going to listen to a couple clips tonight. Yes, we're going to wait for a few more people to show up, maybe, so they can catch on to this. And I'll play one more song real quick before I set the audio up, and we'll go from there. So you just hang tight and, you know, enjoy the tunes and just kick back, and we'll get into it in a minute.
I'm part of the Neighborhood Crime Watch. The way this works is you watch, I commit the crime.
Oh, my God.
No. There's no talking. You just give me your watch and wallet now.
Here's my problem. You're black.
I'm Danny Crane.
I'm a big shot.
So am I.
If you kill me, the headline is going to be, Black Guy Kills White Big Shot.
And that's the last thing we need when we're trying to elect an African-American's president.
No. All right. Watch. Gun, knee, right foot, left foot. Thank God.
I keep a compact tactical HK strapped in the hip. One in the chamber, both hand in the clip. Free speech zones don't bother me a bit. Gun free zones are a lottery you pick. They were invented with the express intent to let a shooting occur and exploit the event. Your leaders see gun murders as priceless. The credo is never ever waste a good crisis. Without a doubt, they want to disarm the public. That's why I got a piss on the subject. It can't happen, won't happen in a million years. Listen here, too many Americans love sex. Even though they jam, but that's okay, cause the AK always stays next to the SK. The people know who creates all the melee. Gunshots out of stock, hey, 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 hey.
As a country, we have been through this too many times. Whether it's an elementary school in Newton, or a shopping mall in Oregon, or a temple in Wisconsin, or a movie theater in Aurora, we've endured too many of these tragedies in the past few years.
We never want a serious crisis to go to waste. And what I mean by that, it's an opportunity to do things that you think you could not do before.
I'ma keep a close eye on you, now that I know your genuine agenda, to take my right to use force against any offender. People tend to forget where they've been to. Take a minute to look back and remember. Governments murdered over 60 million people who couldn't fire back because gun possession was illegal. Contemporary America's headed toward this. We're all certified gun owners are on a list. We're thrown into a database so in the future they can track and trace. And if you refuse to surrender your Luger, they can smash your face. If that's the case, you better be ready to put it back in place. Your legislators are lacking the basic passion if the action takes. They know you love revolvers, they don't want you using them. Why your taxes been paying for Uzis in Jerusalem? I'll give it to you with a timeline. Fuck rumors, this is for your Diane Feinsteins and Chuck Schumers.
In the average gun owner, in large parts of America, guns are a way of life, but you know, the left wants to take that hunting rifle your Uncle Tommy gave you when you were 14. Ban assault weapons. Try and reinstate the assault weapons ban.
Part of it is seeing if we can get an assault weapons ban reintroduced.
Well, yeah, it's getting tough out there. Yeah, no doubt. I work in home invasions, mostly. Some murder, occasional rape, if she's hot, or really bitchy. And I'm a huge advocate of gun control, absolutely.
Things that we had postponed for too long, that were long-term, are now immediate and must be dealt with. And this crisis provides the opportunity for us, as I would say, to do things that you could not do before.
Listen, the fact is, allowing citizens to own guns creates a hostile work environment for me and my associates.
Now, the president has made clear that he's not going to use this horrific event to push for new gun laws.
Target range for the federal plunge rate remains unlikely at our next meeting in April. With continued improvement in economic conditions, however, we do not want to rule out the possibility that an increase in the target range could be warranted at subsequent meetings. Let me emphasize, however, that the timing of the initial increase in the target range will depend on the committee's assessment of incoming information. Today's modification of our guidance should not be interpreted to mean that we have decided on the timing of that increase. In other words, just because we removed the word patient from the statement doesn't mean we're going to be impatient. Moreover, even after the initial increase in the target funds rate, our policy is likely to remain highly accommodative to support continued progress toward our objectives of maximum employment and 2% inflation.
Before we get started, please check out our sponsor, Lear Capital. That's Lear Capital, precious metals leader. Buy gold, buy silver, do it today. Hey, everybody. everybody. I'm Christopher Green. You're tuning into AMTV Alternative Media Television. It's raining outside right now. I don't know if you can hear the pitter-pattering raindrops. Maybe it's tears. Maybe it's America watering its eyes. You know, I watched the Federal Reserve Chairwoman speak yesterday all day. I watched her play words, play off words, suggest that they're going to remove the word patient, but they're still not going to be impatient. But maybe they're patient, maybe they're not. They're never going to raise interest rates. They're going to raise interest rates. I even watched supporters of the Fed, you know, people like Steve Liesman of CNBC, honestly just look totally and utterly confused. I mean, people that honestly think that the Federal Reserve is going to act after 7 or 8 years of these shenanigans post the 2008-2009 financial collapse, only to realize after almost 8 years that they're not going to do shit. They're not going to do a single gosh darn thing regarding interest rates. I mean, we're talking about raising interest rates from zero by 25 basis points, still keeping it under 1%. So basically, we're going from zero to close to zero, and they're still not going to raise rates. Janet Yellen's been saying for years now that it's going to be data dependent. As soon as the data supports an interest rate hike, she'll be hawkish and not dovish. Yet the unemployment rate, which is allegedly at 5.5%, isn't good enough for Janet poor Yellen to hike rates. Well, then how good does it have to be? Because I don't know if it can get any better. Of course, we know that's not the real number. We know that's not the shadow stats. It's not the U6, which is still the real unemployment rate, which is still above 10%. But I can't help but look at all of this and honestly feel like I'm looking from the outside in at an insane asylum. I watched the U.S. stock market juice itself on steroids yesterday. The U.S. dollar, which has moved parabolically recently and has been strengthening, collapsed. Oil prices skyrocketed. Stocks skyrocketed. Bonds skyrocketed. Gold surged. Oil surged. And I can't help but sit back like I'm looking in one of those Christmas snow things from the outside in, looking into that petri dish and honestly seeing an insane asylum in America today. You know, I watched some commentary from Peter Schiff yesterday, who I agree with. I agree with his analysis. He's been dead right. He was dead right in 2008, 2009, pre that collapse, and he's dead right now. But what Peter Schiff doesn't see is how this collapse ultimately unfolds. It's not going to be as simple as just QE4. You know, quantitative easing 4, which I would agree, they're going to launch some kind of form of quantitative easing 4. They'll probably launch some kind of form of quantitative easing 5, but it's going to be even bigger than that. People, for some reason, can't see it. It's going to be an entirely new paradigm. Let me explain. Whatever catalyst it is, it could be the U.S. dollar collapse. It could be a systemic shock to the U.S. stock market. This year, let's say, for example, where the Dow Jones Industrial Average is cut in half. There's a drop worse than what we saw in 08 and 09, worse than the Great Depression. They're not going to simply just launch QE4 as a result. They're not going to cut rates from zero to negative where they already are because, again, there's no more ammunition left. There's not a single bullet left in that gun. There's nothing that the Federal Reserve can do. So when that event happens, when the unthinkable actually happens, when the dollar collapses, when there's the crash, they'll simply change the game. It'll be a brand new system. It'll be an entirely new paradigm. They'll say, hey, you know, America, things are really bad now. You know that dollar that you used to, you know, transact with in your pocket? We're going to move to a new international basket of currency now. It's called the XYZ basket. Isn't that great? It could be a combination of currencies abroad. It could be the U.S. dollar and the euro together, along with the renminbi, along with the Swiss franc, along with something else. It could be a digital format. They're just going to change the game entirely. It'll be a brand new system. And yes, people will lose money. Companies will go out of business. Americans will lose their life savings, just like already happened with the wealth transfer in 2008 and 2009. But they're just going to change the game. It'll be a brand new system. You know, the question on everyone's mind won't be then, when will they raise interest rates? Because the answer to that question is, they never are. They'll never raise interest rates. They're never going to normalize interest rates at all. They're never going to normalize the system again because they can't. I mean, look at Greece. Greece is an example. It's a test sample for what's happening here in the United States of America. Ultimately, Greece is going to leave the Eurozone. They are either going to re-drachmatize or they're going to do something entirely and completely different. It's exactly what the United States is going to do, and that will be the solution. It'll be a brand new system. It'll be a brand new paradigm. It's not going to be as simple or as easy as what we've seen in the past. That's what's happening. And you see, Americans don't realize any of this. I mean, if you're not wow and in total and utter and complete shock yesterday watching the games that the Federal Reserve is playing, then you're not paying attention. You're honestly just dumb. Really, you're dumb. If you're not shocked by the word games that are being played at the Federal Reserve, almost 8 years post the 2008 and 09 collapse, with new bubbles, with a stock market that is triple, with a bond market where we've seen interest rates on the 10-year go from 1.6 roughly, a low that we saw here recently, and then over 60 days above 2%. I mean, the lack of liquidity in the market is enormous. The price declines that we're going to see in the not-too-distant future are enormous. And if you're not in shock by the games being played, then you're honestly dumb, blind, or you're an idiot. One of those three, and none of those are a good thing. You see, Americans don't understand that everything has been lost. America has been raped. The system itself, the financial system, is over. It's just like the Constitution. The Constitution in the United States has been revoked. The sheer fact that the NSA can wiretap every conversation that all of us have, anti-constitutionally and illegally, proves that the Constitution has been revoked. Everything has changed. The Manchurian candidate that is and has made up Barack Obama and his administration has won. We no longer have the America we once had. It isn't America any longer. The new America is the America when you go to Starbucks and try to get a black coffee, they're going to engage with you about race. They're going to write race together on your cup and ask you about what you think about race relations. That's the new America. They might as well write Islam on the cup and tell me about the Prophet Muhammad or write Jesus on the cup. When did these social elitists, these CEOs at companies like Starbucks, think and come up with the idea that they have the right to somehow merge their social consciousness with their businesses? Isn't there supposed to be a separation of church and state with government and the school system? You know, corporations, I guess, can do whatever they want. But I agree with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar when he says likely there's going to be violence as a result of this. In fact, I think if a barista that makes $10 an hour wants to engage you on race and writes race together on your cup, you should give them a Black Panther pamphlet or a KKK pamphlet and engage them on that. We live in an insane asylum. This petri dish that is no longer America. This financial system that's no longer a system. Yet nothing changes. It seems that people aren't shocked by what's happening, aren't angry. And it only proves my point. It only makes me incredibly and deeply saddened, ashamed of this country, ashamed of its people.
Some might be surprised to learn that the fate of America's economy has already been determined, verified, and announced by the Obama White House. Yet, it has received scant attention from the corporate media. In 2011, economist Kyle Bass interviewed a senior member of the Obama administration about its planned solutions for fixing the U.S. economy and trade deficit. Among the questions he asked was about the U.S. exports and wages, but the question itself was not nearly as important as the response he received from the senior administration official. In fact, the single seven-word response clarifies everything, explains everything, and leaves little else to discuss. We're just going to kill the dollar. There it is, the entire agenda in one short sentence. It explains everything we've been seeing domestically and globally. Then one statement makes every other question irrelevant, or otherwise answers all economic questions and explains everything. Nothing else matters. I urge you to ponder that statement and all it implies. Doing so will provide you with the clarity to understand not only what is taking place today, but what is yet to come. It is important to note the specificity of the word kill. Stated in the active voice, it means an unambiguously intentional and deliberate act. The murder of our national currency, the United States dollar, is the ultimate agenda to be implemented under Obama. To kill our national currency will subvert the United States and destroy it from within. This begs a number of questions, including what type of Americans would actually have as their objective the destruction of our national currency. To whom do they hold their allegiance, if not to the American people, whose life's work as well as the toil of our ancestors is represented in the form of wealth held in U.S. dollars? Does this make any sense to us as Americans? The answer is, of course, no. By its very definition, to kill our national currency is an act of high treason by those engaged in this activity. It undermines the very sovereignty and survival of our nation and will have a life-changing impact on every citizen in the U.S. It will also impact every nation and the people of every nation on the planet, as the U.S. dollar is presently the world's reserve currency. It is an act that should result in the filing of criminal charges against the conspirators, a trial of their peers, and if convicted, a death sentence. It's that serious. According to my source, we are past the point of no return. We will not be able to stop what is coming. We must be wise enough to prepare and get out of the way. The murder plot involving the death of the dollar did not begin with Obama, but he and other conspirators have accelerated the plans, plots, and schemes for its demise. The ultimate objective is to implement an international currency in tandem with a system of global governance. The problem is that most people are not thinking large enough, nor do they understand the magnitude of the lie. They're not seeing the larger picture as their focus is diverted elsewhere. For example, they focus on various tentacles of the octopus, such as the gun confiscation initiative, the DHS armament acquisitions, and economic woes as independent and unrelated events. They are not. Meanwhile, others continue to adhere to or even perpetuate the dual party meme of governance, holding dearly to the notion that there is a practical difference between Republican and Democratic parties. Have we not seen sufficient evidence that they are now one party acting in concert with each other? They cannot see the collusion and backroom deals and continue to hope that the next election will finally change the unchangeable continuity of the gender. Most of the elected officials are on board with the subjugation of the United States to a global system of governance. Some are actively facilitating this agenda, while others are making nominal objections on the stage of political theater, whilst hoping to earn a seat at the global table. It's entertainment for the globalists, distraction of the masses, and diversionary fodder for the talking heads in the media. America has become a captured operation, captured from within. Think of the Vichy French internal collaboration with the enemy, or softening the ground for a full takeover from within. The takeover of America has already happened. The collaborators have already been installed. We are now on a path to complete subjugation of a larger global system of governance. If you continue to doubt this, how else would you explain the numerous examples of our dual-party governmental acquiescence of self-destruction? Those who are pleased about the new record-setting stock market highs and various other manipulated statistics that indicate our economy is improving will be the most vocal critics of this report, and who will attempt to discredit the validity of the information offered here. The more intellectually astute will look beyond the statistics offered for mass consumption, not only to identify the deliberately manipulated data, but to understand what is actually driving these falsehoods, figures, and data. It is a magic show, and many are still captivated by the magician's many diversions, failing to realize that we are engaged in a global war while being simultaneously hobbled by enemy infiltrators from within. One reason we are seeing new stock market highs is the rush to the dollar from other currencies, especially in the Eurozone. Another reason is the monetization of our debt by the Federal Reserve, despite the previous denials of Ben Bernanke and others. Simply put, the plan by the globalists or the central bankers and those behind them is to create this rush to the US dollar like passengers from sinking ship to lifeboats. Once the lifeboats are filled to capacity, they will be sunk, and the United States dollar will be completely worthless. As in such a scenario, many will not make it. Many will die from what is coming. The level of evil behind this plan is incomprehensible to the normal human mind. We are at war with Russia. After removing Gaddafi from power in Libya, the Obama-Clinton Black Ops plan was immediately put into action. Benghazi was a logistics hub for arming the anti-Assad terrorists by our own State Department, covert operatives who were shipping millions of tons of weapons to Syria via Turkey and other staging areas. Russia was aware of our actions, and through the attack at the CIA operations center in Benghazi by proxy forces, exposed this operation to the world while putting a stop to this operation. It seems that everyone except the Western media reported what had taken place. The dirty little secret which explains why we have not been told the truth about Benghazi is quite simple. The efforts to overthrow Assad from power are continuing, except the arms and munitions shipments are now originating primarily out of Croatia. Overthrowing Assad would pose a direct threat to Russia, both militarily and economically. Are we to expect Russia's Putin to simply accept this without response? No. What is Russia doing to subvert our efforts? Is waging war against America, striking at the weak underbelly of our economy, which is the oil-backed dollar as identified in Michael Reagan's article, Building on a Kernel of Truth. Sadly, the Obama regime is doing nothing to protect us from this asymmetrical war. It is as if they are allowing it to take place. Although it was reported in the New York Times, few who paid attention to last week's meeting between Chinese President Xi Jinping and Russian President Vladimir Putin in Moscow. But it was an extremely important event in terms of the planned murder of the US dollar. An alliance is being forged between Russia and China to replace the US dollar as the reserve currency, already severely weakened by the policies of those in power, with a gold-backed currency. One report exists that cite the hoarding of gold by China and Russia, they are purposely underreporting their collective reserves. Meanwhile, Americans can't even get honest answers to the amounts of our own gold reserves held in Fort Knox or the Federal Reserve. Don't people find this reluctance for audit inspection a bit curious, but not outright suspicious? The battle is being waged not only by military might, but by a currency war. We are being played through our military involvement in the Middle East, including our covert operations against Syria at the behest of Saudi Arabia. Unlike Iraq, the war in Syria will explode, turn hot, and we will be engaged in an ominous battle that will quickly expand and turn deadly. Weakened militarily through the policies of the Obama regime, coupled with an already weakened economy, the U.S. will suffer consequences unlike anyone might imagine or is willing to address. It is a recipe for disaster, planned and initiated by the global elite behind the central banking system, including those in our own government, who've been set up from within, lied to, and now we're about to see exactly what this globalist system has in store for not only the United States, but every nation of the world. It is critical to understand that the takedown of the U.S. will be the result of an asymmetrical war that includes the weakening of our military, our economy, and a direct assault on our ability to keep the dollar as the world reserve currency and protect the free flow of oil and energy to the United States. Within the last week, China held a surprise naval exercise in the South China Sea. Meanwhile, Russia displayed their resurgent military might in the Black Sea. These exercises were conducted as U.S. military forces have spread thinly across many areas of the world. Is anyone paying attention here? Just as certain a collapse of the dollar is coming, so will be chaos on the streets of America caused by this plan to kill the dollar. The central bankers and the leaders selected to govern each country have effectively used the Hegelian dialectic to implement their agenda. Just as stated by George H.W. Bush on September 11, 1990, their predetermined solution of a new world order is being formed before our very eyes. They have told us what they are doing, but we have chosen not to listen or fail to understand what was being said. The U.S. has always been the firewall against the globalists. By their persistence, infiltration of global elitists into our government, and covert subversion from within, we're being led to slaughter. A view from space, looking at the larger picture of events for which many have questions, a clearer picture emerges. There will be some who dare to resist the pillaging of our bank accounts, the erosion of our rights, and the enslavement that comes with the dismantling of America. The dust clouds visible on the far horizon that watchmen have been reporting for decades can now be seen as an attacking army of barbarians, whose fighters are now on the ladders and cannons of breaching our empire's outer walls. Who knows how long the inner walls of our empire will survive the next wave of their coming attack. Perhaps Ernest Hemingway said it best in referencing John Donne from his novel of the same name. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls to thee.
All right. You've tuned into CNR Crazy Nation Radio. And it's Sunday night, and I'm out of here. So have a good day tomorrow, even though it's a holiday, but some of us still have to go to work. So, hey, have a good day, and we'll see you again tonight later on. Have a good evening, folks.